previous. Now let's go. Okay, start right here, all right? Yep. 12. Who's next? Who's next? Good. And we need Genesis 13. Come on. All right. And then we've got Genesis 14. All right. Okay, we're going to Judy first. 14. 15. And 16. Who's next? 17. 17. 18. Remember who the crew stuff was. 24 and 25, that'll be all. Okay. Remember what number you got, and then we're gonna start reading those. But I wanted just to rehearse something you said last week. Probably be good for every time. Now, one announcement I was supposed to make is that there's a card out there on the computer that's supposed to be signed. I haven't got it for the elders. That's what I was supposed to do. Oh, what up, sir? It's a surprise.
No, I don't know if it's a surprise or not. Look at that.
All right. But this was the said last. This is what was it? My glasses, I cannot keep seeing it. Everybody know where it is.
Don't worry about it, bro.
Let me tell a quick story, though. She always likes to surprise people, pop in on them, that sort of thing. We drove all the way to Alabama at the time. She was not know it. We were on the way. We got there later. That's when we discussed this thing about surprises. Anyway, we had to stay in act and then to come back. But I like you to look up. Everybody knows what's going on. Okay, this study that we got, did we say it's not so much about? Okay, remember that slide? This is not so much about the Middle East geography. But we're looking at some of the Middle East geography.
Yeah.
It's not so much about genealogy, the lineage of people. There is one lineage we are concerned with, and that's the lineage of Christ. So we'll pay close attention to that, but that line that covers what we call the scarlet thread lineage, if you will. So that comes from Seth and on down through that line. We're interested in that. We're not too interested in chronological order of events. What I mean by that, whether this happened before that, or not, because sometimes in the reading of Genesis or any other part of the Bible, you will have a preview of what's going to happen next. If you talk, it's kind of particularly on the lineages, it goes into lineages and then it goes back to the first of that lineage and discusses it. So that's chronology of events, and sometimes those are hard to get in our mind, and we may not have it exactly right sometimes. Let me ask this question ahead of time. This is another illustration. did God talk to Abraham, or do we have record of it? Let's put it that way. Do we have record of God talking to Abraham in the city of Ur? I can't find it. If you find it, let me know. Maybe he may have. But in the chapter 12, it talks about God talking to Abraham. It's kind of hard for me to tell whether he's talking about in the city of Ur, or he's talking about in the city of Haran. It doesn't matter, really. It doesn't affect the story at all. Did he do this first, or did he do that first? The chronological order is not so important. Sometimes it becomes important, but we're studying things kind of in the chronological order, obviously. Don't be hung up on that. The other thing is the social customs of the time. Some example maybe would be the color of the face, something like that. Those kinds of things are interesting. Maybe not so important to our understanding of the scripture message of Genesis. Scripture message. Social customs of the time. Okay, geopolitical events of the time. There's a whole bunch of geopolitical events going on with Lot when those kings or the war going on and political things were taking place those kind of become important. And these all go together to make up the story, so they all become important as a whole. And then I get hung up sometimes looking at language, word meaning. Okay? I'm fascinated with word meaning, so when I see that, I think a town like Bethel, Bethel, in the Hebrew, in the house, house of God. And Bethel, house of praise, the hymns, the praise. I get hung up in that. I don't need to spend so much time in that, do I? No, I can go trace word origins, and I'm not really studying Genesis anymore, am I? I'm studying my fascination, right? But they're still important. I think those things are important things to know. Languages and word origins. Okay. What we're studying. What we are studying. What we want to be sure to get out of the study of Genesis is the study is about Abraham and Sarah in this particular passage, chapter 12 to chapter 25. It's about Abraham and Sarah. Two of the heroes, we call them heroes of the faith. It's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. We can learn some things from them. And that's what we want. Things written for time are written for our learning, right? And so we have our comforting scriptures, those things that we study, the things that we know. Okay, we want to study those human characteristics of Abraham and Sarah and any of the other folks that God has given to us as examples and how we ought to act. And certainly, they have some very good examples for us to follow. We're going to talk about Abraham a little bit later, and we'll get to some more specifics about that. Then there's what I call unfaith. I would call it sin. I can't point to sin. God's the only one who knows what's sin and what's not. It seems like, Abraham should have trusted God. You know, I get that type of thought. I am a Pharisee. Abraham, you should have known God would not let you kill. That's faith, right? But there's some unfaith kind of things, too. Like he has to tell the story about untruth. Hard to say that, but anyway, he touched on untruth to Abimelech, for example, didn't he?
Yes.
This is my sister. But anyway, there's some things that God revealed to us to show some flaws in their character. Okay? But that's good for us because we realize, at least I do, I got lots of flaws. God still loved Abraham no matter what his flaws were. And Sarah liked and kind of made fun of it. The story was about Isaac and those kind of things. So we can look at that from our viewpoint, building the Pharisees. But we do recognize that this is probably not living up to his standard that he set in other places of Abraham. That's what we want to get. So we got faith. We want to pull out those things that strengthen our faith, and we want to notice there the character of God comes out. The character of God, his forgiveness, his love of people. His grace. So we got the faith of Abraham and the love and grace of God. That's the main thing that we really can add. Any study of the Bible, but particularly when you're studying the Bible. We talked about, and you'll have this slide in front of you, but we remember, I think, pretty well. Adam begat, when you use the term begat, Abraham, in the line of Christ, Adam begat who? In the lineage man. Adam begat, first Abel, but he wound up being killed. He begat Seth.
Seth.
Yeah. Seth is in the lineage. Okay, Seth, and then I'm going down the lineage now. Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and then Noah. That's all in that middle group of that's on the line of Christ. Now, if we talk, now we're under Noah, we got Shem, Ham, and Jacob, right? Which one of those three brothers is of the line of Christ? Shem, Ham, or Jacob? Shem. All right, Shem. And I think on my first page of the handout that you got there, it kind of shows where these sons of Noah went, generally speaking. Shem is in the middle, right above the promised land, and he winds up going down even into his descendants, I'm saying. Okay? His descendants wind up going down into what now is Saudi Arabia and all back up in there. Those are all Shemites, sons of Shem. Okay? And Shem had sons called Elam, Asher, Lud, Aram, and Arphaxad. Arphaxad is an important character because he begat Eber. Eber, we said before, I believe that Eber is where the term Hebrews. Eber? We put the H on it somewhere down through the years, an H came into Eber. And we said, Hebrews. Heber. With the H on it. Hebrews. And that's where they get their names. Hebrews. 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 Does that sound? Can you hear it ringing? Hebrews. That's a word fascination again. Hebrews. Okay, so Eber had sons, though. What was his son in the lineage of Christ? Terah. That's right, okay? And then Terah had somebody, son, in the lineage of Christ, and his name was Eber. At the time, it was Eber. Right, Eber. And Eber. Okay. That's that chart that we looked at last week. I don't know if I'll give you a handout or not. Anyway, that's the lineage. Okay, now we've got two brothers. Abraham had two brothers. Do you know the names of the two brothers? That's it.
Haran.
Haran, how do you want to say it? We don't get too wrapped up in how you say it in English.
Let me say it completely different than it.
So Haran is the way we kind of pronounce it. The other one was Nahor. Nahor, okay. So we got Abraham. Haran had died apparently before they ever left. Before they ever left Ur, the city of Ur. Okay? And he had a son who was made Abraham's nephew, right? His name was Lot. And yes, Lot went with him into the land of promise eventually, but first of all, he went from Ur of the Chaldees into the city that was named Haran. Now, probably, just guessing, I don't know if we know this for sure, but probably that city was named after the brother of Abraham. But this is the city of Haran. What happened there at Haran? Okay. Let me read this slide so I don't miss anything. The move from Ur began under the family leadership of Abram's father, Terah. We know that. Okay. Abram's brother, Haran, the father of Lot, the Bible says, died before Terah. I don't think that means in front of Terah. I think it means he passed away before his father, Terah, passed away. And he died in Ur of the Chaldees. In fact, I think the scriptures say that, but it's a pretty good assumption that he died. But he didn't travel, in other words, from Ur of the Chaldees up to Haran. The family, including Abram, remained under Terah's leadership. Even in Haran, even when he got to Haran, he still was, Terah was still the leader. Abram was there, but he was faithfully following after his father's instruction. Okay, do you have this map? Yeah, you do. You have to look at Shem, Ham, and Jacob. Okay. After Noah's Ark began to rest on Mount Ararat, you can read that for yourself about it, but God confused us. Bottom line is God confused their languages, and the people moved in these directions. We talked about Jacob to the north, Ham to the south, and Shem right in the middle of that area that we call the Promised Land, or today we call it the Middle East. Okay. All these fancy things going on the screen. Okay. From Ur to where? The travels? From Ur to Ur, okay. And then from God speaks to Abraham there. After Terah passes away, God speaks to Abraham. What does he tell him to do? Get out of your country. Get out of this country. Get out of here. Leave the family. Okay? go to the land of the promise. So the promise came there in the city of Haran, chapter 12. Okay. Yes, it's good time for us to start with chapter 12. We've got chapter 12. Just read the highlights, please.
God calls Abram. God blesses and promises seed. Abram departs from Haran. He journeys to Canaan. He worships God in promised land. Abram is driven by famine to Egypt. He presents Sarah as his sister.
Chapter 13.
The wealthy Abram returns from Egypt. Christ heard the virgin. Abram gives lots his choice of land. Lots to dwell with his father. God renews his promise to Abram. Abram goes to the oath of commandment and Haran of Ram and builds an altar of worship.
Chapter 13. Chapter 14.
That one of the kings takes place. Lot is taken prisoner. Abram rescues Lot. Lot should have been blessed Abram. Abram is the source of all the world and Abram's son.
Okay, that is so important. Let's stop and talk about that just a minute. There's no much mystery about this. It's the king of Salem, but since he gets later on in the scripture, he points us out that he gets a tenth of his spoils, a tenth of whatever Abraham's got. You know, Abraham at that point. So he gets a tenth, so this is very important. And then, there's speculation, and maybe more than speculation, about Christ, pre-incarnation. He's called the king of Salem, Melchizedek. And there's some things in the book of Hebrews that talks about Melchizedek. So, okay. And Abraham restores the spoils of war to the king of Sodom. That's the last thing that says. Okay, 15.
God encourages Abram. God promises the coming of Isaac. Abram believed the Lord and this was counted as righteousness. God promises the land of Canaan. God's promises confirmed by his son.
16.
The Lord appears to Abraham. Sarah's unbelief is reproved. God reveals Sodom's destruction. Abraham intercedes for Sodom. Sodom is destroyed. Lot and his family is delivered. Lot's wife looks back towards Sodom. Lot drinks wine and his daughter sins and orders no
victory. Now, last week we said, but let me honest. Last week, I think the word he was, and I put this from another out loud, said it kind of indicated that Lot's sin, maybe neglectful or doing a foolish thing or something like that. But the sin comes in with the daughter, right? Because he didn't know scripture something. So, I'm back in the line, that's another matter. And I can say, obviously, the result of this. Okay. Did you read the five right there?
Yeah. Throughout the Bible, the Ammonites and Israelites were portrayed as
enemies.
During the Exodus, the Israelites were prohibited by the Ammonites from passing through their land. The Ammonites soon allied themselves with Moab and Israel.
Okay. Who was Moab? Who was Moab? Son of Lot and his daughter, the oldest one.
Yeah.
And then the younger daughter, with that son, so the Moabites and the Ammonites, you'll see later on, as you study the scripture, of course, that these are definitely pagans or enemies of the nation of Israel. Of the line of Christ, of the lineage that we're talking about. This is a really interesting story to get into the mind of prophets. I did study the mind of prophets 20 years ago. But it's really interesting because you can look at some things like the Canaanites and what they did later on. And having this in our knowledge, we can look back to, oh, Canaanites. Like that's where that one is. The story is intertwined throughout the Bible. The Moabites, the Canaanites. Now, okay, Genesis 20. Great summaries. I mean, Joshua has a great summary of all of it. The book of Joshua, he before he goes into the promised land, he makes a great summary of everything that's happened. And then the same thing happens in the New Testament. Stephen, well, first of all, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he does a great summary of all that. And then later on, Stephen gives the same message about what happened. Yes. And what happened to him, but not much time to this stuff. Same message, Okay. But anyway, all that's the summary of what's going on in the Old Testament is important to us. What were we at in 23?
God commands sacrifice of Isaac. Abraham is faithful and obedient. Another sacrifice is provided. Covenant with Abraham renewed. Bethuel, son of Abraham's brother, Nabor, and Milcah, character for that. Sarah died of Hebron at age 47. Abraham meets with the Hittites to purchase their burial things. Sarah is buried in a cave in the land of Canaan near
that most important thing there was not the didn't something that God commanded to sacrifice, I thought it wouldn't be there because it was so very important. And the character of God comes out in this thing. God is faithful, God provides the sacrifice. That's a picture of God providing the sacrifice for the cross. Okay. Next one?
Abraham directs the servant to find water. The servant travels to Mr. Cain. He meets Rebecca. Rebecca and Rebecca are three men. Leading between Isaac and Rebecca. Isaac and Rebecca men.
Hey, why is that about Abraham?
Abraham marries Tor. The Tor bore six sons to Abraham. Abraham and God blessed Isaac. Abraham dies at age 175. Isaac and Ishmael bears Abraham.
Okay. That's that summary. That one asks the question. I had intended, well, we know we were going to do the role play, but I don't think we're going to be able to have time to fit that into everything. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a review of all this through questions. Okay? I was going to give them out, but there's lots of them, so we'll just get into them. And I'll ask the questions, and you give me your best answer. Some of them will be. Okay. Where was Abraham born and raised? Where was Abraham born and raised? What city? I always got that in mind. Okay, that's correct. Ur of the Chaldees is a city in Mesopotamia. If you take that literally, Ur of the Chaldees, then Mesopotamia means what? Mesopotamia means land between the rivers. The Chaldees also has that same translation. Was Earth actually in the land between the rivers? Trick question. Was it in Mesopotamia? If you take it literally, what that means? It was on the banks of the Euphrates, wasn't it? It wasn't between the rivers. It was on the banks of the Euphrates. The answer is correct. It's in Mesopotamia. Ur, a major city in Mesopotamia. Ur of the Chaldees. the scripture for that, and I'll give this to you as a handout. You don't have to write these passages down. I'll give you the scripture. Which one? Genesis 11:27. Next question. In his lifetime, was Abraham ever an idolater? Now, you can't say that he was a complete idolater because he's in the lens, and somebody passed the message of God's grace down through him. So to say he is a complete idolater was everything. A complete idolater is in this moment. I mean, I think that happened. Definitely his family was. Aaron held on to it, but it died. Period. Okay? So the answer is yes. See, Joshua 24:2. Let's turn to that. Joshua 24:1-3. Joshua 24:1-3. This is part of the summary I was talking about that Joshua makes before he goes into the promised land. Joshua 24:1-3. Anybody got it? Yes, please.
And Joshua met an all the tribes of Israel, and all the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves to God, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the fathers dwell on the other side of the flood in all the tribes. He and Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, who served for the gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side.
Okay. So Joshua indicates that there was an idolatry going on. That's one of those things I didn't realize either, but that's what we're doing. Okay. Let's go to the next question. Genesis 12:2-3. You remember, this is where God makes start first. That may not be the first time, but that's the first recorded time where God makes the promises to Abraham. Okay, Genesis 12:2-3, there's 7 lessons from God, and this is true false. 7 lessons from God to Abraham. If I make a statement, this is a true false question. Genesis 12:2-3, there's 7 lessons from God to Abraham. True or false? I didn't count them up before, but I got the advantage, I counted them. The answer is true. It is true. He gave 7, you can divide it up into 7 different aspects of the promise. Okay, next question. How old was Abram when he departed Ur of the Chaldees? How old was he? Bible tells us. Yeah. 75. Who said 75? Okay, that's Genesis 12:4. Next question. Place the first altar Abram built in the promised land. After he left Haran up there in the north and came down to the promised land area, the first place that he stopped in worship, made an altar. This will become later on, very important. This place comes up over and over and over in the Bible. And so, anybody want to take a guess at that one? That's right, who got it? Alright, you set the star. Bethel. Bethel. That's the first place that he worshiped. In the promised land. He built all those other places. But in the promised land, Bethel was first place. Genesis 12:5-9. Next question. What does the Hebrew word Bethel mean? I've already said that 3 times. I know you all. Bethel. House of God.
Okay,
good.
Bethel.
I didn't realize I was getting the answer. Situation that led Abraham to travel to Egypt. What was the situation that led Abraham to travel to Egypt?
Famine.
famine in the in where? In the promised land, where he built the altar, the famine there. And what would we have to say? God's care, God's providence was involved in that too. You know what happened in when he got to Egypt? Okay, the answer to this famine was great. And then, when the wealthy Abram returned to Canaan, where was the first place of worship? Yeah, I can almost hear Sarai saying, but why are we going to Egypt? I don't even know where that place is. Nothing but bad things can happen to us. And I heard those crazy people. But there was some, probably the consternation. You pick up your whole family and say, we're going somewhere. There's no reason. What are we doing here? What's the Lord? Does the Lord care about us? Put us in the situation. He came out good because of Ken. He got wealthy and he got lots of experience, I'm sure, working with the Egyptians. Okay, so the answer is okay. Now, the next question. When the wealthy Abram returns to Canaan, where was the first place he stopped to worship? Where was the first place he worshiped? He came back to the same place he worshiped the first time. So here we go. Baptism has become very important all through our studies. It's a very important place. Okay, next question. When it became clear that Lot's herdsmen were stubborn. Hey, that sounds fishy in itself. When it became clear that Lot's herdsmen were stubborn, Abram forced Lot to move to Sodom.
No.
What's wrong with that? He gave him a choice.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a false, right? Okay, next question. Abram moved to Hebron and built a new altar. True or false? So Bethel is important. Hebron is also very important. Next question. Lot is taken prisoner by a people from Mesopotamia who rescued, Lot is taken prisoner by people from Mesopotamia, was rescued by a king named rescued by that king, was he?
No.
False. He was rescued by whom?
Abram.
Okay, Abram, very good. Okay, during his return to Canaan, the king of Salem brought bread and wine and blessed Abram. True or false? True. He didn't worship Abram, but he did bless him. Okay. Next question. Abram gave one-tenth of the spoils of war back to the king of Sodom. Well, there's a couple of things wrong with that. What's
the king of Salem, not Sodom.
That's right. Okay. The tenth went to the king of Salem, right?
Yes.
And what happened to Sodom? Okay, the king of Sodom got something, though, right?
It was destroyed.
Well, no, the king of Sodom. Now, this is back when he was friendly with Sodom. Because Sodom, you remember, Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom lived. And when the Mesopotamian people, land between the rivers, came down and stole Lot as a part of the plunder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then the king of Sodom was involved in this rescue effort. At least he appeared on the scene. I assume his soldier went in there too before they were having to pull Lot out of that mess. And he came back and said Abraham gave him something. He gave him the remainder of this whole. The king of Sodom said, hey, take all this. You've earned it. All my goods that were stolen from me, it's yours, Abram. You take it. And I'm paraphrasing the court.
Mm-hmm.
What did Abram say? I don't want it. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't want it. Let somebody say that you made me rich. The God's right there. You know, that kind of thought process. So he got nothing. Abram took nothing. But the king of Sodom got all of his remaining spoils. Maybe a tenth of it. I'm not sure. In the scripture, can't tell the truth. If Abram gave a tenth of that to God, too. Anyway, he got most of it, at least not all of it, except of everything that they stole from him, the king of Sodom did. Now, Sodom, well, as you mentioned, Sodom is going to become wicked later on. Okay. Okay, here's the next question. When he returned from rescuing Lot, Abram married Hagar, and Sarah protests. True or false? Let me say false.
False.
Let me say true. I think the false is I've got it. She advised him to marry Hagar, didn't she?
Right.
Because she didn't see how God was going to keep that promise. Let me help you. Kind of keep up the okay, that's false. She dies in the marriage. Next question. Later on, Sarai becomes angry at Hagar and sent her away into the desert. Okay. Next question. Who came to Hagar and Ishmael's rescue?
An angel.
And it's also, at least my translation, says the angel of the Lord. An angel. The angel of the Lord. Sometimes there's an expression. How old was Abram when Ishmael was born? I didn't know this. And I want to guess another. And was 75 when he went. So it's got to be older than 75. How much did you say? 86. He was 86 when Ishmael was born. 86. Yeah, I can see why they were kind of. The human nature would doubt the Lord could ever do anything. He gave you sick. What did he do? But later on, even when he married Sarah, he's much older than that. Okay. Genesis, okay. 16.
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, please. Okay. You asked a question.
No, I think I got married. I think the question I have a hard time going back to the same. I hope it said that protesting her union. Now, I guess the question is, what did he marry her in that sense? Is that maybe the question that you asked? Okay, I guess according to how you marry, you find marriage in those days, and maybe it's one man, one woman, but life is the way the Lord find marriage, so say something like that. Okay. Good one. Uh-huh. Okay. Somebody says that's right. Okay. The age of Abraham when God changed, age of Abram when God changed his name. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. That's right, you had that answer already. Yeah, that's right. 99. I forgot that. Did you remember that, or did you never read it?
Yeah.
That number just came to your mind. Okay. Abraham is now, at age 99, Abraham is now called Abraham at age 99. According, we got a few more in there. Whoa, we'll find up here. Yeah. According to the Lord, every Hebrew male should be sacrificed when he's 8 years old. Put it on. Okay, next question. God changed Sarah's name to Sarah, and 100-year-old Abram fell on his face and laughed. And this is a correction from what I said last week. Is this true or false? He did not. At this point. But when we're looking at Sarah, right? Okay. Three more. Does the Bible confirm that 90-year-old Sarah confessed to the Lord that she lied?
Yes.
Don't have your record and say, yeah, I do. The Lord said, no, but you did lie. Okay. The Lord told Abraham he would destroy Sodom. Move on. Abraham was happy to hear that the wicked people of Sodom would finally be punished. False. Well, we'll do that next week. False. Okay. How old was Abram when Isaac was born? 100 years old. You almost got two right. No. Sarah became angry at Ishmael when he scoffed at Isaac. She directed Abraham to cast out Hagar.
Yes.
Who? was the record that Abraham had to listen to Sarah's command to cast out Hagar? I thought the same thing. You do read the scripture passage, but he tells us, go ahead and do what you want. And I'm paraphrasing. And then, is there border established significance to the promise between the Philistine king and Abram? Okay, let's stop there. There are about 10 more questions. Well, next week, though, I'll give you the questions.
Okay, thank you.
You can look and see what the answer is. And then we're just going to get to this, too. Abraham is here. I want us to, let's listen to some things. If you're telling somebody about Abraham, and they're not Christians, they just maybe friends we send each other. And they want to know something important for them. What would we say to them about Abraham? Some example. He loved the lost. How do I know that? He loved the lost. But we should love the lost, too. We didn't get it. Jesus loved the lost. Abraham loved the lost. The weak. He loved the weak. He was sovereign, right? So he went forward and put his life in his hand, really. Mm-hmm. Argued that. So he loved him that much. Okay, thank you. You've been kind of let me walk people with my next week.
Thank you. We're glad.
We didn't say a prayer, Ray. Hold on.
Yeah, we need to say a prayer.
We need to say a prayer. I'm sorry. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to study about Abraham and all the beautiful examples he gave to us.
Yeah.
We just pray, Father, that we would take those good things and realize that we've got a heritage to be told and take the good things that he gave us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for your attention.